hirelings, madmen, and wolves. One thing that we must notice about the devil is that he works best undercover, because his main weapon is deception. He has been able to convince people to believe that he doesn't exist. So for as long as you don't believe that Satan exists, then that belief itself becomes a mask. Many people say that there's no Satan, you are the Satan, I am the Satan. You know, if you do good to your friend, if you do evil, then you are the Satan. No, there is Satan. There's a personal devil. As much as there's a personal savior, there's also a personal devil who is called the devil. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name for yet another opportunity you have given us. You always give us this privilege to come and sit at your feet and learn of you. Even as your word is coming, we pray that you help us to open our hearts to receive your word and open the eyes of our understanding. Let your word find a place in our hearts, and let your word transform us into the image. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. You may take your seats. We thank God for this morning, and you are all welcome to church. Amen. And today is 5th of November 2011. And we've been looking at deception, the veil of deception, started by looking at deception itself. And then last week we talked about wolves in sheep's clothing, wolves in sheep's clothing. And I've not finished with that. Today I'm talking on hirelings, madmen, and wolves. Hirelings, madmen, and wolves. These are the three categories of people that we are going to look at. Hirelings, and then madmen, and then wolves. And last week, I touched a little bit on hirelings. When I was talking about wolves in sheep's clothing, I spent some amount of time talking about hirelings and how you can detect a hireling, somebody who is not a true shepherd, but it's just a hireling. And today I'll be touching a little bit on that, but I'll also be talking about madmen and wolves. And that is the progression from being a hireling, you become a madman, then you become a wolf. Now, all these three, they're not literal. I'm not talking about literal madmen. I'm talking about madmen as the Bible calls certain people. Now, one thing that we must notice about the devil is that he works best undercover, because his main weapon is deception. The devil knows that when it comes to power encounter, he stands no chance with a believer. So when he's dealing with a believer, what he resorts to is tricks, schemes, deception, so that the believer can shift from the position that God has placed him. And once you shift from that position, then you give the devil ground in your life. So the Bible said that we should put on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. Then he said, having done all to stand, stand. So after putting on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, you stand. They didn't say fight or attack. He said, stand. Because you are the champion, he is the challenger. So he will come and try to shift you from your ground, from your position in Christ. And he works best undercover, because he likes to deceive. And he can mask himself. He can mask himself, and he can continue to do damage under the mask without being noticed. That is his stock in trade. That is how he works. So the devil can even, evil spirits can even lodge in people's lives. For so many years, they'll be silent. And they'll be doing damage to the person for so many years. Till light comes and they are exposed. When they are exposed, they resist and they bite and they fight back and all that because they always want to be covered. They are like cockroaches who do a lot of work in darkness. When you put on the light, you see them scurrying. They're just running, you know, running somewhere. That is how the devil works. He always likes to hide behind things. Hide behind things. And he has various masks that he uses. One of the masks that he uses is the fact that he doesn't exist. He has been able to convince people to believe that he doesn't exist. So for as long as you don't believe that Satan exists, then that belief itself becomes a mask. And behind that mask, he can do you damage because you don't believe he exists. Many people say that there's no Satan. You are the Satan. I am the Satan. You know, if you do good to your friend, if you do evil, then you are the Satan. No, there is Satan. There's a personal devil. As much as there's a personal savior, there is also a personal devil who is called the devil. Somebody who is called the devil. Now, another mask he uses is to use science, logic, common sense to explain away his activities. He likes to hide behind common sense, logic, and sometimes science to explain away his activity. So somebody can be going through demonic oppression, but because science has given it a very nice term, the devil can continue to oppress the person. In fact, people can go through oppression or depression, and the solution to depression is spiritual. The Bible says that he gives us oil for the spirit of mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness or depression. So the Bible has a prescription for depression, but the devil can hide behind the fact that science is saying that it's just chemical imbalance and giving it some of these nice names. You know, he can actually hide. Then the third mask he can wear is that he can actually project himself as an angel of light to deceive the uninitiated, to deceive the one who has not been tutored or who has not been taught. He can project himself as an angel of light. Now, that one, he does that to deceive people, you know, because many people, almost everybody knows that evil is from the devil, you know, but few people know that Satan too can bring good things. So when he gets to that realm, he will come as an angel of light and he will come with something good. At least the packaging will be good. It will be good enough to attract you, good enough to excite you and to let you buy his package like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, this tree, this fruit is good for food. Who doesn't like food? It's pleasant to the eyes. Everybody likes things that are beautiful and a tree to be desired to make one wise. We all want to be wise and we are all growing in wisdom. You know, so that one, he comes to deceive people, and it takes a lot of help from God to be able to detect some of these things from the devil. In fact, as we go along in this series, you'll be surprised how the devil has succeeded in infiltrating our ranks. You know, with certain so-called truths. Satan can preach truth, but he will preach half-truth. And half-truth to God is lie. He said, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they will bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. That scripture, that was scriptural. The devil quoted from Psalm 91, but he omitted just a little phrase. He said, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and they shall keep you in all your ways. And so that you will not, but he omitted that. In all your ways. You see, that is just to let you know that the devil can quote scriptures. He can counterfeit many things, you know. But there are certain things he can't counterfeit, but he can counterfeit many things. Especially those things that border on spirituality, power, supernatural. Satan can counterfeit all of those things. All of those things. He can counterfeit the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit. He cannot counterfeit the fruit of the Spirit. Because he cannot bear that fruit. You can't copy fruit. Fruit is born. That's why he said, by their fruit you will know them. Let's look at Matthew 7 verse 15. Matthew 7 verse 15. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So, Jesus is giving us an unmistakable sign to detect false prophets. He said, you will know them by their fruits. Why? Because the tree, the fruit determines what kind of tree the tree is. You can't find mangoes on an orange tree. It's impossible. That's why I said that the devil cannot counterfeit the fruit of the Spirit. But for the gifts, he can counterfeit any gift of the Spirit. We can have any gift of the Spirit. I mean, a fake version of every gift of the Spirit in the Bible. But he can't counterfeit the fruit of the Spirit. So he said, by their fruit is the fruit that will show you. If you want to judge somebody or you want to assess a person, you don't assess the person by the gifts. You assess the person by the fruit of his life, the fruit of his lips, the fruit of his character. Now, we always talk about false prophets. We have not only false prophets, we have false apostles. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13, Bible talks about false apostles. We have false teachers. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3, false teachers. Then we even have false brethren. False brethren. So when you are pointing your hand at somebody say that, oh, this man of God is a false prophet, you must ask yourself, are you a false brother or a false sister? Because we not only have false prophets, we have false prophets, all right, but we have false brethren also. Galatians 2, 4, false brethren. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Let me read the Galatians 1. It looks like, let me read Galatians chapter 2. So we have false brethren, and you can be a false brother, you know. Okay, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that it might bring us into bondage. Those were false brethren. So the fruit is the unmistakable part. You know, what will help us to really identify the wolves is the fruit, not the gifts. Giftings are not a good measure, a good measuring rod, a good yardstick to ascertain whether somebody is false or not. You don't use the person's gifts, because the devil, and both God and the devil, they can do power ministration, power demonstration. If you think Satan doesn't have power, you are deceiving yourself. What he doesn't have is authority, but power he has. He said, I give you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. He has power. We still have people who are in the kingdom of the devil who are exhibiting power, but he does not have power against the believer, number one. Number two, he doesn't have authority to use that power, the right to use that power. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said, therefore go. So authority in heaven and on earth is for Jesus. So Satan doesn't have authority, but he has power. And so both God and the devil, they can demonstrate power. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the Antichrist, the main Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to call fire down from heaven in the sight of men. That is power. I thought that was power. I mean, he will call. Elijah was the one we know who called fire down from heaven at the instance of God. God instructed him, and God brought the fire down from heaven. But the Antichrist too is going to cause fire to fall from heaven. So when it comes to power, God himself has given the devil that liberty to be displaying power. Because when Satan, Lucifer rebelled against God, God didn't take back the power he had given him. The power was still his. That's why he still has power. You know, he can still kill people. You know, he doesn't have the power against the believer, but he has power. Power. He has power. People who are of the devil can perform miracles. Miracles. I'm talking about miracles. I'm not fake miracles. Miracles. Real miracles. They come. We have lying signs and wonders, but miracles, we have people performing miracles. It does not mean that they are from God. Now, miracles will not show whether somebody is from God or not. What will show is how the miracle was performed. That's the fruit. That's fruit. That's attitude. That's character. But the miracle itself, for instance, God performs miracles not to prove his power. Not to prove his power, but to show love and extend mercy. God performs miracles not to prove that he's powerful, but to show love and to extend mercy. Number two, you see, miracles, God's miracles, they are always redemptive in nature. They are not just for show. What the devil does is for show. That is magic. It's for show. Satan displays power for show. Have you seen fetish priests who are displaying? And they are just displaying, you know, each one wants to prove that he is more powerful. That is how Satan operates. So if you are just looking at somebody's miracles, that person is from God, you'll be mistaken. We don't use that. The devil performs miracles to prove his power and to make a claim that he is powerful. It is always signs and wonders that the devil uses to deceive people. Power acts. Why? Because he knows that people are awed, mesmerized when they see power. So once the person sees power, the person stops thinking. And the person stops seeing every other thing. He's only got the power. So this is a great man of God. Why? Because of the power. Come to Matthew 24, verse 24. The warning Jesus gave. Matthew 24, 24. Power is good. God wants us to have power, but we should have this understanding first. Otherwise, we ourselves, it will not help us. Matthew 24, 24. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." In other words, in this end time, the kind of wonders we are going to see from false prophets, if you don't take care, even if you are part of the elect, you can be deceived. Which means that this is something that is very, very similar to what God does. So when it comes to detecting false prophets, don't use power at all. You can be deceived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Look at what the Bible said. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." What is the working of Satan? "With all power, signs, and lying wonders." Power, signs, and lying wonders. So, the presence of power does not indicate the presence of God. The only way you can, because one thing that Satan cannot counterfeit is the fruit of the Spirit. He can't counterfeit. Wherever you see love, wherever you see humility, wherever you see peace, wherever you see patience, wherever you see faithfulness, wherever you see self-control, the Spirit is there. Hello? The Spirit is there. But you can see power display, power demonstration, people falling down does not mean the Holy Spirit is at work. People, even people being healed. I mean, when the Holy Ghost is there, people will be healed. People can fall. People will prophesy. But those things in themselves do not indicate that the Holy Spirit is in a place. In other words, you can do all those things without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's possible. Gifts can be counterfeited, but fruits cannot. Because gifts are instant. Fruits are born over time. So if you want to assess somebody, look at the person's track record. Because fruits, you can't just bear fruits, you know, instantly. It is gift that spring instantly. Fruits are born over time. Fruit goes through process before they are born. You don't just plant a mango tree, mango seed, and the next day you are enjoying the fruit. No. Fruit means character. It means process. It means growth. It means time. It means diligence. It means that the tree has gone through various stages and now is bearing fruit. That's why in Israel, if you present yourself as a man of God, they check your source. They want to know who your father is in Israel. You can't go to Israel and say that, I'm a prophet. They will check you. Where they will trace you to where you are coming from. That is your track record. That is fruit. There are people who do not have, who have bad track record. You can't trust them and say that they are from God. Because for power, the devil can. And in this end time, I'm telling you, God is going to release power to the church. It has even started. The kind of power that believers are going to demonstrate, it blows the mind. You know, when you listen to the message I preach called the glory of the latter house, you understand what I mean. I gave certain scenarios how believers are going to demonstrate the power of God. So, not that I don't believe in power. I believe in power. I believe so much in the power of God. I've seen the power of God many times in my life and ministry. But that is not the yardstick. Even you as the minister, you should not judge yourself by the giftings of the Spirit. Judge yourself by the fruit you are bearing. The fruit you are bearing, not the gift. Now, so I'm going to talk about wolves first. Then I'll talk about madmen, then hirelings. Even though you start off by becoming a hireling, then you become a madman, then you become a wolf. I'm going to reverse it, you know, starting with the wolves, then madmen, then the hirelings. But the process is, if you want to be a wolf, you have to become a hireling first. Then you become a madman. Then you become a wolf. And you see, when we say false prophets, don't think that there are people who are outside who are coming in. They are inside. False prophets are, most of them are believers. Oh, yes. False prophets started by being believers. They know the Lord. They were born again. But some of them have gone into apostasy. Some of them are madmen, going to graduate to become wolves. Yes, so it's a process. So don't think that the false prophets, they are coming. You say, oh, they are coming. No, you can be one. I can be one. If we don't take care of you, you can sit here and stay under the word, and a time will come where you become a false prophet. It will surprise you. You will become a wolf, not sparing the flock. Yes. Jesus Christ said that, beware of false prophets, who come to you in wolves and sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The word ravenous is an English word. It means extremely hungry. It means extremely hungry. They are extremely hungry. They come as sheep, have sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are hungry wolves. And hungry wolves, they devour the sheep. You see, wolves eat sheep. So when a wolf pretends to be a sheep, what is he doing? He's trying to deceive the sheep. You say, oh, I'm one of you. But something will give him out. Something will betray him. So let me give you some of the things that wolves do. They use the miraculous to enslave people. The wolves. They use the miraculous to enslave people. They use the power of God to make slaves out of people. To make slaves out of people. The Bible says, God said that my people are like animals in a cage. He said, and they love it like that. They love it to be so. He said, my people are like animals in a cage. People have kept them in cages. They make merchandise, fleece the sheep. They make merchandise and they make money out of the sheep. He said, Paul said, I know that after I have departed, wolves will come amongst you who will not spare the flock. The wolves don't spare the flock. They make sure that they milk them. They exploit them. That is the sign of a wolf. Exploiting the people. They use fear. Fear to enslave people and make money out of them. Put fear into you. Tell you that you are going to die. If you don't bring money, you will die. Your child will die. And some of these things, they will say it and it will come to pass. And people sometimes think that it is because they disobeyed. No, it's because you are afraid. Because some of these wolves, they can actually, you see, when they speak, they have spiritual backing. And they can actually tell that, unless you bring me money. And when you don't know what God has said, and you don't also counteract what they've said, then it can come to pass. But if you know what God has said, and you can issue a counter word and cancel what they say, it will not come to pass. So they use fear. Prophetic directions and tokens make name, make money from people. They are wolves. They did not get there by chance. It was a progression. There was a point where they were hirelings doing the work of God deceitfully. Then they became madmen, having the wrong thinking. Then they became full-blown wolves. Now when you see them, you see that these people, they have sharp teeth. They don't spare the flock at all. You see the people of God hustled, stressed out, tired, always being driven here and there, from mountain to molehill, leaving their resting place, not directing the people to Christ, but to themselves, so that they can milk money out of them. They are wolves. Don't be afraid of them. They are wolves. When you see a wolf, it says, avoid them. You see, and these wolves, they draw attention to themselves. They draw attention to themselves. That's one of the things you will see about wolves. The attention must always be on them. They hype their giftings and they seek attention. All because of money. They're always trying to say, I am the best. I am the best. I have the best. I am most anointed. I am the one you should come to. If you don't come to me, you are doomed. These are the words of wolves. They are false prophets, false apostles, false brethren. They are wolves. These are their words. They like competition. And they are always trying to prove that they are the most powerful. Those who like to throw challenges. Let's go to the field and let's see who is more powerful. They are all wolves. That's not God. You see, when Elijah summoned the false prophets of Baal, when the fire came, what did they say? The Lord God, he is God. That is the effect of when God performs miracle, when God displays power, the fear of God is released. Not when you pray for somebody to be healed and they carry you on their shoulder and they are giving you fans. That is not God. And you are comfortable. They are giving you fans and they are giving you appellation and all that, and you're also happy. That's not God. It's the devil's power. Where if you go for Satan's power, you will be proud. Because you must always draw attention to yourself and say and talk. You see, there are some people when you start seeing them, watching them, you see how they talk. As soon as they switch, their language changes. They start talking with some overblown sense of confidence that you must come to me, come here, come. And I will do this for you. And you will never hear things about the word, breaking the word, discipleship, teaching people, Bible studies. You don't hear those things. All you will be hearing is, come and I will solve your problem. Or any problem you have, come. Take a car from this place, that place, come. Wherever from Ghana, come here. It will be solved. I saw a juju man, his signboard. And I saw the things he deals with. I was surprised. The same thing we deal with in the church. Money, visa, charming, money, double your money, charm if you want a girl. And we have these things in some churches. Charming oil. Yeah. If you want a husband. And sometimes they name them. This one is follow me, boy. It's like the yeah. That's the name they've given to the oil. Follow me, boy. So if you use the oil, you smear your face with the oil, and you see the guy will follow you like a cow being led to the slaughter without any choice. They always have an object they project as having power or special abilities. Watch them. Watch these signs. The wolves, the false prophets, they will always have certain objects they project. They will never project Christ and the word. They will always project an object. It could be oil, a special type of oil. It could be a special type of water. It could be a special type of handkerchief or mantle. It could be a special solution called blood of Jesus. And they draw attention to those objects. That is idolatry. Idol worship. Many people in the church are worshiping idols. Because of these wolves. And all those things are tied to money. At the end, they produce money. When there's a program, we're going to have a great program, 3 days program. After the program, the revival is in the pockets of the prophet. Revival in the pocket, not the people. The people are not revived. They don't care about the people. Whether you grow as a Christian, it's none of his business. He's a wolf. He's not sparing the flock. He doesn't. A shepherd will feed you. A shepherd will think about how you will grow. A shepherd will take time to prepare food for you to eat. A wolf doesn't have that time. He wants to exploit you and use the money to line his pocket. And they give these objects names. And we don't know the source of these names. Some of the names are names of idols. There are some people who started as ministers of God. Now, they have altars in their rooms where they slaughter things. I was talking to somebody who used to be in the occult, who used to do juju for pastors and all that. Now, he's delivered. In fact, he came here, we prayed for him here. Then he was telling me that there are certain, in fact, he mentioned some names, you know, which I'm not going to mention, in this city who have come to him for him to prepare altars for them. Yeah. So some of them in their homes, there are rooms that you dare not go. Nobody goes to that room. Some of them have crocodiles in their house. Yes. You dare not go to that room. That's where they perform all the rituals. And most of them started in the church. Genuine people in the church. They didn't come from outside. That's why some of them know the Bible. They can teach, bring out food from the Bible, but they can bring out certain stories and take things out of context and just to confirm what they are teaching. In this end time, if you really want to know those who are genuine, check the fruit. Check the fruit. Check what they say. Check their message. Check their lifestyle. You won't be deceived. But if you look at their gifts, you can be deceived. They get the glory. They get the glory. You see, when you hear people testifying and they are saying that, I want everybody to come. This man of God is so powerful, and I want everybody to come here, come with all your problems. It's a sign. When the glory of God fills a house, it's not the house that gets attention, it's God. When the glory of God fills the house, God gets the attention. If it is God, God will get the attention. The moment he becomes a man, that this a powerful man that we have, who is the source of all power, all the power. So come and meet this man. Now you see, somebody can say, oh, let's go to my church, or you have to listen to my pastor. That's not wrong. Like Philip told Nathaniel, he said, come and see. I've seen a man, come and see. The woman said, I've met a man, come and see. That's not wrong. But I'm talking about emphasis, where the emphasis always is on a certain man that you must meet, and he's powerful, powerful, powerful. By the way, in the Bible, you hear holy men of God, not powerful men of God. You don't hear the phrase, you don't see the phrase powerful men of God. You see holy men of God. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote. 1 Peter 1, he said, no scripture is of private interpretation, neither did they receive them from men. He said, but holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. The Shunammite woman told her husband, he said, I perceive that this man is a holy man of God, not a powerful man of God. Let's stop all this nonsense. Powerful man of God. Powerful. No. Holy man of God. Hello? Yes. Wolves, you can call a wolf powerful man of God, but you can't call him holy man of God. But in the prophets in the Bible, they were known by holiness, by their fruit. Now, one of the signs of wolves is covetousness. Covetousness. This one, you can't miss it. You can't miss it. You will see that the main thing about the ministry is money. It's money. The main thing about the program is money. And they will rape the people. They will scrap all the money on you, and they will bring other people to take and steal from you because you want power. Somebody came to minister, on TV, and the person, when he got there, he said, hush, I'm in Hunomai Bromenisu. Serious. What I'm seeing, serious. So many things. I'm seeing so many things. Bring water. They brought a bowl. Then he poured water in the bowl. Then he took some of the water, washed his face. He said, now it's okay. And that water, you have to come and sow seed for that water. And you see, and people, once the person holds the Bible and say, let's open our Bibles to John 13, verse 1, read. Now, before the feast of Passover, continue. When Jesus knew, and the person is not preaching, he's just quoting scripture. After that, you close the Bible. Okay. Now, if a shame come, whoa, sorry, original, pa pa pa, dito dito, whoa, pa pa pa, take it. The people move away like. It's like, onya kamba kumine tuma. That's all. Once he gets the first thing, first two right, that's all. They said, now bring money. They see people bringing money. Somebody who will not even give money in his church. His pastor has been preaching the word, preaching and teaching, serving him food. He will not even sow a seed. He will go to these people, these wolves, who only organize programs. And then say, come and sow. You get up. You come and sow 2,000. You sow 5,000. You sow, or how much can you sow? 4. Okay, sow 4. Wolves, they are all wolves. I don't care how well they talk, how they can heal. Don't think about those things. They are wolves. Your attitude towards money, let me tell you something. Even for God to trust you with anointing, he looks at how you handle money. I will prove that to you from the Bible. For God to trust you with anointing, with spiritual things, God will check how you handle money. How you handle money is a reflection of your character. Your attitude towards money. And you will see these wolves. You see that they are covetous. Come to 2 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3. And I said, don't think far. Don't look far. Don't think that they are coming. They are here. All of us can become false prophets if we begin to think that they are outside. Whenever you think the problem is outside, that thought is a problem. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. You see, they were Christians. The Lord who bought them, they denied the Lord, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. He said, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Covetousness. That is how they are. That is how they are. Come to verse 14. Okay, verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, still talking about the false teachers and false prophets, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they don't understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, which is death, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you. So that means they were part of the church. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Look at these strong words Peter is using for people who were part of the church. See, their hearts are trained in covetousness. Covetous practice. So we should be very mindful. You see, these wolves, they are very materialistic. Very, very materialistic. Because they are always looking for ways of getting money from the people. So they use gimmicks and tricks. And it's unfortunate that most people also fall for these gimmicks. This oil. Bring me oil. You know, this oil, I've opened the oil. Now, I want to open somebody's destiny. Come and sow 5,000. Let me open your destiny. then see people running. Destiny opening anointing. Coming to sow 5,000 to open your destiny. 5,000 to open your destiny. But I mean, be also. What? Maybe also. Your cat house, maybe also. I will uncover you. You are covered. I will uncover you. The people will come and sow for the oil. You see, anything that you sell simply because you say it's powerful, you are a disgrace to God. It means you are either a madman or a wolf. Why is it that oil is 5 cedis? And because you've prayed over the oil, you must sell the oil for 100 cedis. Yeah. Clear. You see, these things are clear signs. But because of the power, we don't look at the signs. Sell oil for 100 cedis, 50 cedis. If you sell the oil for 5 cedis or the price, or let's say even if you want to, five cedis, you sell it for 5 cedis. But if you sell the oil for an outrageous amount because you said it contains power, then you are making merchandise of the anointing. Then it means that you are a wolf. When somebody becomes a wolf, it does not mean that the power that he got, God gave him. Maybe some of them started as ministers of God and they had anointing. Now, they are still using that same power. That's what confused people. They are still using that power, but God doesn't know them. God doesn't endorse what they are doing. Like Lucifer. Where did Satan's power come from? From God. Satan's power came from God. It was God who gave Satan power. He anointed him as a cherub. But now, Satan's power is fighting against God, doing evil things, and yet it came from God. The same way, these wolves, some of them were anointed, but they went astray, and now they've entered into apostasy. So now, we see them, they have something in them that looks like God, and something that looks like Satan. And it leaves us confused. At one point, you see this person, the way he's doing worship, the way he's doing this. At another point, you see that thing manifesting. That's the other side. God does not deal with mixture. Any mixture is not from God. He said, water, you can't find salt and sweet water from the same source. He said, you can't gather thistles from figs. By their fruit, you will know them. If it is a mixture, if you see a mixture, you must know that it's not God. It's not. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your head for all hands to be laid on your head. Don't waste your time. Don't go for your destiny to be opened. If anybody tells you that, I want to open up your destiny, it's a lie. It's a lie. The first sign, you see, one of the things that the first sign of the presence of God is that the gospel is being preached to the poor. Isaiah 61. One of the first signs you know is when the gospel is being presented without charge, when money is not an issue. One of the first signs of a genuine of God, he is not after money. Because you see, Mammon and God, they are competitors. Mammon and God, they are competitors. For as long as Mammon's grip is on your heart, God is not in your heart. When Mammon enters, God leaves. One of the fastest ways to lose the presence of God is the love of money, covetousness. As a man of God, you can lose the presence of God and still have the anointing, the power. But God is not with you. He's not with you. He does not endorse what you are doing, but you are using his power. That's why they were surprised. They said, did we not cast out devils in your name? It was his name they were using. Did we not perform miracles and prophesy in your name? Yes, but he said, I never knew. Now, they were people who knew the Lord. They were in the fold, but the Lord did not know them because what they were doing were unauthorized. Isaiah 60, 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. That is one of the first signs when the gospel is being presented without charge. So when you see people putting price tag to the gospel, you must know that they are wolves. That is one of the show. You see, by their fruits. Some people will not believe this, and they will go and later find out, oh, this. Always use that to check. The money factor. Anybody who is always using gimmicks to take money is not of God. He's a wolf. He doesn't spare the flock. He's a disgrace. As a man of God, to make money from selling things in church, so-called spiritual things, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to God that you are making money from selling so-called spiritual things. That is what the church was doing when the church went to apostasy in the year AD 500 and coming to 600 and all that. They were selling indulgences, you know, like if you buy this, then all your sins have been washed. And they made money from the people. And it still continues even to now. Just that now, it's not your sin that has been washed. Now, if you buy this, come and sow this money for this, you will get some power. You will get some power. This handkerchief, I've wiped my face with a handkerchief. Power has entered. I want two people to come. Sow 100 cedis for this handkerchief. Then you see people coming. 100 cedis. Take it. You have received power. That is nonsense. All these things, they have been successful in the church because of us. Because of us. Now, the number three thing you see about wolves is immorality. Immorality. That one is also a sign. You will see. It's a clear sign. You will see that they are immoral people. They no boundaries. No boundaries. You see, all those who are using occultic power, for instance, one of the things that increases their power is when they sleep with more people. Yes. So, if you talk to people who have been there, they'll tell you. That's one of the things. So you see them, you see that they have no boundaries. No boundaries. Somebody invited a prophet to their church, a church. By the time the so-called prophet left, two people were pregnant. Many of the ladies in the church, he had been inviting them to his hotel room. And there is somebody who stands and his eyes are lit like that of a dog at night or a cat, you know, and he sees everything. Mentioning your name, he can prophesy your intestines and your lungs and your kidneys, tell you everything. And so the man was confused. You have invited something into the church. All because of money. You know what he came to do? He came to raise funds for them, for their harvest. And he raised funds and raised children. Impregnated two people, raising children. Be fruitful and multiply. So immorality is a sign of a wolf. There are some people who may be going through having genuine, let's say, challenges, you know, with moral lifestyle. But the difference is that for the wolves. They don't care. It's like they don't even want to be helped. They don't care at all. They know what they are doing. I mean, that's what they do. It's in them. They don't care. Somebody can fall into, let's say, a sin, and the person is even hurried to get out. But the wolves, that's what they do. It's like constantly, and they know what they are doing. That's what Peter said. That he said, their eyes are full of adultery, and they use words to deceive people. Now, so that is wolves. You will see them by these things. You will see them. So when some of you now, you must begin to be mentioning some wolves in your mind. So this one, I think he's a wolf. Looking at the fruit, he's a wolf. Well, if he calls you, then you know that you have to run for dear life. Now, what about madmen? Madmen are ministers of God who have imbibed wrong thinking. They are not thinking right. They are men of God, women of God. They're not thinking right. They are mad. They are mad people. From the madman stage, you go to the wolf stage, where you become a full-blown wolf. Now you are a wolf. Wolf. You know. But come to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm talking about wolves, madmen, and hirelings. 2 Peter 2, verse 14 to downwards. It says, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sinning, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices. You see, trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. They are forsaking the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. The madness of the prophet. Balaam was a madman. The Bible calls him madman because he was not thinking right. He was a man of God, all right. God spoke to him, but he was not thinking right. He was a madman. So when you are a madman, you are on your way to becoming a wolf. You are mad when you think that ministry is a means of gain. The Bible says you are mad. He said you don't think correctly. I'm not insulting anybody. It's the Bible. He said you don't think correctly when you think that the ministry is supposed to be used for gain. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 3 to 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Men of corrupt minds, who think that godliness is a means of gain. He said, from such withdraw yourself. So you are not thinking correctly, or you are not thinking right, or you are mad when you think that the work of God is a means of gain. When you come into the ministry with a mind that I want to make money, you are mad. And you can easily progress to becoming a wolf because you will not spare the flock. You are mad when you love the wages of unrighteousness, like Balaam. He said, the damned ass donkey, speaking with a man's voice, rebuked and, he said, restrained the madness of the prophet. He said, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. So anytime we want the wages of unrighteousness, we are not thinking correctly. We are not thinking correctly. We are not. We must put growth over money. Put the spirit over money. If you put money here and you put growth in grace, people will take money and leave growth in grace. You are becoming mad when you start thinking that your gifts will make up for how you live. In other words, it doesn't matter how you live once your gifts are intact. You are not thinking correctly. That is how you can progress to becoming a wolf. When you think that how you live does not matter. How you live does not matter. You are not thinking correctly. You are not thinking correctly when you put the cart before the horse. When you put the cart before the horse, when you put service before relationship. Your relationship with God, when you put your ministry before your relationship with God, you are not thinking correctly. You are a man of God, but you are not thinking correctly. Because the order in the Bible is that it said, take heed to yourself and then to the doctrine. And in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16. Then Acts 20:28, it said, take heed to yourself and to the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Take heed to yourself. Philippians 3:17. Look at examples of madmen. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have asked for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So, you see, when you start thinking certain thoughts, it means you are getting mad. God sees you as a mad person. You become an enemy of the cross. See, they may not deny the cross that maybe Jesus came to die on the cross. They will not deny that. But they will deny the reality of the cross. They will set their interest on the things of man. You see, God's process, when you start thinking that the shortcut to God's process, you are becoming a mad person. Do you know why people go out astray in seeking power? They don't want to go through God's process. They don't want to jam God's process because they are not thinking correctly. God's process is no cross, no crown. So he endured the cross, despising the shame. Therefore, he is sitting at the right hand of God. No cross, no crown. It is the devil who will take away the cross, who will say there's no sacrifice. You don't need to go through anything. You are wasting your time. There's a shortcut here. Pass here. This shortcut, that is from the devil. Matthew 16:23. Satan is not always against you. Sometimes it's for you. Especially when he sees that your interest is not what is not God's interest, he will be behind you. Matthew 16:23. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then after that, he said, then Jesus said to disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When we start thinking that sacrifice is a strange thing, we are getting mad. Because the theme for the New Testament is sacrifice. The cross is sacrifice. Everything in the New Testament boils down to sacrifice. And the foundation is the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. When he gave himself up for us. That is the foundation. So when we preach shortcuts, we are not preaching the true gospel. The true gospel. No demands. You can do anything. Anything goes. Loose Christian living. That is not the word. That's not the word. Check the Bible. Compare with the New Testament and see whether Paul and Co. He said, these men, they've turned the grace of God into lewdness. They were mad people. They've turned the grace of God into lewdness. Jude verse 13, 11 to 13 said, they've turned the grace of God into lewdness. Do what you please. Loose living. Everything goes. No standards. No, we are not under law. We are under grace, which is true. But it's grace and truth. And there must be standards and boundaries in a believer's life. If anybody tells you that, what you do really does not matter, he's getting mad, according to what the Bible is saying. Say, their God is their belly. Their God is their belly. Do you know what it means? They crawl on their belly. Serpentine. Serpents. Deceptive words. Think about their belly. It's a madman. Hello? Yes. Now, come to Jude verse 11. Jude verse 11. It's amazing how they talked about these guys. I mean, it's amazing. Even if you read from verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They turned the grace of God into lewdness, into loose living. They come to verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These three things, when they are in your life, you are a madman about to progress to become a wolf. All those who are wolves, they were once like this. The way of Cain, no revelation, walking by their senses. Cain took the fruit of the earth, which had been cursed by God, and presented the fruit of the earth to God. Abel was walking by revelation. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. That was by faith. Cain's own was by senses. So, when you are living your life without revelation, let's say you are a minister, and you are living your life without revelation, you are just following your senses. It means that you are exhibiting traits of a madman on your way to becoming a wolf. If you progress to become a wolf, you won't spare the flock. Then the way of Balaam is the way of greed. Prophet or prophet. Most prophets are prophets, not prophets. Balaam, greed. Then Korah, rebellion. These three things will make you mad and can lead you on to become a wolf. No revelation, greed, rebellion. He said, they are spots in your love feast. Look at how he described them. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. You know, they used to have love feast that went with the Holy Communion. You see, love feast. And said, these ones, they are feasting with you as if they were brothers. Our brethren, but they are mad people. He said, they are clouds without water. Clouds without water. What is cloud without water? the cloud gathers rain. So outward show without inward fruit. If you live your life like that, you are a mad person on your way to becoming a wolf. If you are more concerned about the outward show, that's why I said the madmen, they are outer court ministers. They minister to the people and not to God. That's how it starts. There are many people who are now wolves because at a point, that was how they were thinking. They saw the ministry as ministry to people and not to God. So to the people they were known, but to God they were not known. And so when they were drifting, they were just drifting. That's when the people can start heaping acclamation on you and you start getting proud and you start being carried away by wind. Look at what he said. He said, clouds without water, carried about by the winds. The winds. Let autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled out by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Raging waves put on a great show, but no substance. Very powerful, eloquent, you know, and charismatic, no substance. If you are concerned about those things, you can easily become a wolf without knowing. If you look at the form without the content, say having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. If you are looking at the status without stature, looking at the form without content, you can easily become a wolf. That is mad thinking because it is not correct thinking. Then he said, the last one said, wandering stars. They are wandering stars. No reference point. He's a star, all right, but he's wandering. A star must stay in place to shine. But they are wandering stars. They offer their gift to the highest bidder. Wandering stars. If you are on that path, you will easily become a wolf. You will graduate from a madman. Then you will get into a wolf. You become a wolf. Now, so the progression is from hirelings to madmen and to wolves. If you are a hireling, you can easily become a madman. Then you progress to becoming a wolf. So the wolves, they are people that we know. They didn't come from outside. They grew here. He said the enemy came to sow tares, and he sowed the tares as seed, not as plants. So these are people who have grown in a church, but they did not take heed to themselves and to the doctrine, and so they have grown. They didn't grow well. They have become wolves. Now, so let me end. The hirelings. How a hireling can progress to become a madman? You see, because hirelings are people who look like shepherds, but they are not. It's like they are entrusted with sheep, but they don't care. They are hirelings. They are taking care of the sheep just because they are being paid by the one who employed them. So they are just being employed. They don't have a heart of a shepherd. Jesus said that when a hireling sees the wolf coming, the hireling will run away for his life and leave the sheep for the wolf to devour the sheep. Why? Because he's just doing a job. He doesn't have it at heart. You see, one thing about ministry is that the moment you see ministry as a job, you will lose your job. You see, when you see it as a job, that, this is a job I'm doing and I'm being paid for this. The moment that thing gets into your mind, it becomes just a job. You'll be dutiful, not worshipful. But you see, when you go beyond duty into worship, that's where even your secular job, you do it as unto the Lord. The hirelings, they do the work of God deceitfully. They do it anyhow. Jeremiah 40 verse 10 says, cursed is anyone who does God's work deceitfully. They are not diligent, lazy, and selfish attitude towards the things of God. So let's say that you have been made a minister or mentor. Say mentor 5 people. Now, what you do at that level will determine whether you are on your way to becoming a madman or a wolf, or you are a shepherd. Because you are, you see, the hirelings are people who were appointed by men, not called by God. And so, they see that it is a man who appointed me. They don't see that it's God who has called me. Are you getting me? They see that, oh, a man has appointed me to do this. They don't see it like God has called me to do this. When something is entrusted to your care, you must see it as a call, that God has called me to do this. Not that my pastor has appointed me to do this. That is how hirelings think. That's why in the Bible, before they appoint leaders, they test them. You know why they test them? They test them to see whether what they are doing, they are doing it as unto God, or they are doing it simply because somebody said do it. 1 Timothy 3 verse 10. Let me read that one to you. It says, but let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Then verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So when you pass the little test, then promotion can. Man can appoint you. But if you see it as God's call and you become faithful, God will promote you. There are certain tests that God will always give everybody. Everybody. Come to Luke 16. I'm ending with this. Luke 16, verse 10 to 12. There are three tests that God will give everybody. If you fail these tests, you are a hireling. If you don't take care, you become a madman. Then you become a wolf. These are the tests that God will give everybody. Once you come to the Lord, God will give you these tests. Luke 16, verse 10. The first test is the test of being given a little. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. That's the first test. God will give you something little. It could be something that your pastor has given you to handle. It looks little. If you see it as my ministry, my calling, and you become faithful, God will take notice and promote you. Otherwise, you will stay there and become a madman and a wolf. People sometimes despise the little things. Oh, this is just a little thing they have given me to do. This one is insignificant. This one is nothing. Just one talent. I'm going to bury it, you know, in a handkerchief. And when it comes, I will present my one talent. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. So laziness is wickedness. When you become lazy about what God has called you to do or what you have been given to do, it means you are wicked. You see, that's what I'm saying. This progression, you see, wickedness in the mind. Test number two, the test of being faithful with money. That one, you see, then the verse 11 says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see, true riches is the Spirit of God. The presence of God. That is true riches. But God will first test you with uncertain riches. And how you handle uncertain riches will determine whether God will promote you to true riches. You know, physical cash. Cash is uncertain riches. Money. Physical wealth. Bible calls it uncertain riches. True wealth is a spirit. Prosperity is a spirit. It's not physical cash. That anointing that attracts things. You don't chase them. Things come. The blessing of God, we don't go after them. They come to us. the blessing of God, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added. He said, the gold shall come. Now, before you can get to that level where the things will come, they are just chasing you. God will test you with unrighteous mammon, with uncertain riches. How you handle it will determine whether you qualify for the true riches. There are some people, they are just there and money is flowing to them. They are not looking for money. They are not chasing money. They are just doing the will of God. And money is just flowing to them like that. I know people who scheme and dupe people in the church and come and say that, I'm victorious, I'm prosperous, I'm worth $4.5 million, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine people who are doing gospel and money is flowing to them. Do you know why? Because they have passed that test of handling unrighteous mammon. If you can't even tithe, you find it difficult to even pay tithe, you get money, just pay tithe, just as common as 10%, you can't even pay. How can God trust you with true riches? Yeah, if you are stingy, God speaks to your heart, give this money, then you are stingy. How can he trust you with true riches? So it's a test that God will always give you that test. And a hireling, you can even see a hireling in the way he responds to money. There are some people, they are not looking for growth. They are not looking for grace. They are looking for money. We must look for grace and growth. Grow in the knowledge and the grace. Then when you pass that test, a time will come, the money itself will chase you. It will chase you. You will not have to chase money. It will chase you. True prosperity. Anybody who has encountered the spirit of prosperity, he has been through times of testing and has stood faithful. I'm talking about God's prosperity, which includes power, wisdom, riches, strength, honor, glory, blessing. God's sevenfold prosperity. To encounter that spirit, he will test you. You will go through moments where you could have chosen money over integrity, and you will stand. Then God will say, now I can trust this person. So it's a test. Maybe you are going through that test right now. Ask God for grace to pass that test. For God wants to bless you beyond measure, but that if you fail that test, he can't. The third test and the last one is also in the same Luke 16. And if you have, verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? This is the last test. So the test of another man's own. If you have been unfaithful handling what is for another person, God will not give you your own. So, and a hireling is like that. A hireling doesn't see the sheep as his own. So he's unfaithful in handling them. What God has called you to do, let's say that you are in a church. God has called you to usher. But you are thinking that it's your pastor who appointed you. So you are not faithful because you think it is your pastor's own. Now, you may be asking God for something of your own. God will say, you did not pass this test of another man's own. So I can't promote you for you to get your own. How you handle something that even in your mind is for another man will determine whether God will give you your own. You know how Elisha got the double portion? The first mantle was not a double portion. That one was just introduction. Elijah threw the mantle on him like this. That one was introduction. The real mantle, he had to pay a price to get it. So what people do, so take this. That's not anointing. That's not impartation. That is just introduction. Real impartation is a journey. Hello. So if you can't honor the appointment of man, God will not entrust his goods to you. Because you see, if your pastor appoints you, or say your boss gives you something to do, you do it faithfully as unto God, God will promote you. But if you don't do it faithfully because you think that it's for my boss, you see, and so you are wasting his goods. Your boss has given you to take charge of this thing, and you are wasting his goods. You don't care. You don't feel it because all you know is, at the end of the month, you will come and pay me. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Okay, what is the solution to all this? Four things, quickly. How you will not be a hireling, a madman, or a wolf. If you do these four things, you can't be a hireling, a madman, or a wolf. Stay in the word. That's the first thing, stay in the word. Let the word of God become more important to you than anointing, than gifts and power. If you can think that way, then you will last long. If in your estimation, gifting is more important than word, it means that you are on the wrong path. You must change your thinking. The word of God is more important than power. If it's a word that brings power. The word of his power. But you know, these days, we don't value the word as much as we value giftings. So people, everybody is praying for God to give me a gift. It's not bad. Anoint me. I want my eyes to open. I want to heal the sick. I want to do this. It's not bad. But in your estimation, is the word more important to you? That is God's way. God's way is through the word. Then you get access to the treasure in the word, which includes the power. But man's way is that we want the power, power, power. No word. We don't want the word. People don't even have time to listen to the word. They always want to see power display. I mean, look at people who go to church and they won't even spend 15 minutes serving the word. It's all about, let's pray, let's pray. After prayer, let's prophesy. Take it. Touch. Those things are not bad. I mean, they are not bad. They are good. But stay in the word. Respect the word. Have time for the word. Have time for the word. So that you don't be deceived. Let's read the word. Read the word. Develop your roots. Grow in knowledge, in grace. Seek to know more. Seek understanding. If there's a prayer you pray, it's a prayer for God to enlighten the eyes of my understanding, that I will know what is in the word. David said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a prayer we should pray. God should give me insight into the word. Help me to understand your word. You see, that's the way to the ways of God. He said, Moses knew the ways of God, but the people knew the acts of God. It's the ways that lead to the acts. But you can get the acts without the ways. But if you get the way, you will get the acts. And God's way is to go through the way to the act. The ways of God is talking about the nature of God. Talking about the will of God. The will of God, the desire of God, the counsel of God. That should be more important to us than the acts of God. He said, David, a man after my heart, not after my hand. My heart. He wants to know my very nature. He was after my heart, not my hand. The things my hand will supply. My power, my healing. Those things are a bonus. If you seek his heart, those things are a bonus. Stay in relationship and fellowship with God. One thing that we should use to mark ourselves, how we are growing in grace, how we are growing in knowledge, how we are growing in love with the Lord. If we do these things, we will not become hirelings and madmen and wolves. There are people who started as we have started now, but today they are wolves because they did not have, they did not stay in relationship and fellowship. They did not stay in fellowship. If you ask people who have followed the Lord for a long time and they are still consistent and they are still on the right path, if you trace their life, you will see that they have this fellowship with God and they've stayed in the Word. Ministers who have labored in the vineyard for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and they are still on track. Those are the ones that me, I listen to them and I follow them. I mean, these are examples. They've been doing the work so many years. They've been on track. Being on track. You will not hear that they are preaching heresy, yeah, this scandal. I mean, they've been on track. And if you trace their secret, it is these things. They stay in the Word. The Word. Just the Word. Those who are very, very, very adventurous, looking for new things all the time. I want to become the greatest prophet in the whole nation. I want everyone to know me. They don't last. They are all over the place, calling themselves names and all that. They don't last. Before long, you hear this, they fizzle out. But those who stay in the Word, as if they are not doing anything, they are just staying in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Stay in purity. Very important. One of the ways to open up to familiar spirits is through immorality. And sometimes when you do that and they come, they start working against you, against your will. So stay in the Word, stay in relationship, stay in purity. If you do that, you will not become a hireling. You will not become a madman. You will not become a wolf. Then stay under authority. Also very important. You don't have any reference point. You become a wandering star. You can easily progress from a hireling to a madman. You must have a reference point. You see, you must be somebody who has been nourished with the words of truth. Paul said, being nourished with the words of truth. Somebody who has been discipled. When you see people like that, you see that even if they drift, you see that they come back. Because there's a seed in them that will not allow them to go far. They can drift sometimes, but they come back. But you see people who have not been discipled, they've not gone through discipleship, like they've not been tutored, not been nourished with the words of truth, not been taught. They will progress from hirelings to madmen to wolves. I've not finished with the wolves. Next week, I'll talk about their message. How you will know the messages that these false prophets, they preach. Some of the things that we have believed and thought were scriptural are actually false. Our understanding. See, God must upend our own theories and theologies and fill us with the truth of the Word. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us more grace. Give us more grace. Have mercy. Have mercy on us, O God. Keep us on the path, O God. Keep us on the path, O God. Oh, yes, help us. Help us. Let's begin to pray. Tell God, help me, O God. Help me, God. Grant me grace. Have mercy on me, O God. Grace and mercy. Keep me on the right path. Keep me on the right path. I don't want to be a hireling. I want to be a shepherd. I want to be somebody after God's own heart. I want to be somebody God can trust. Somebody God can entrust something to. I don't want to be somebody who does not feel what God feels. But somebody who does not have the emotions of God. I want to feel what he feels. I want to be joyful over what he's joyful over. I want my heart to be broken over what his heart is broken over. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this second prayer. We are asking God, anoint my eyes with eyes up. Anoint my eyes. Let the scales fall off my eyes. Let me begin to see things from your perspective. Touch my understanding, O God. Breathe into me. Let my eyes see how you see. In the name of Jesus, that I will not be deceived. That I will not deceive myself. That I will not also be deceived. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord. 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 Libra talabaha, lumbro sitaha, kamata yande, krabato, sitade, salabaha, komatale mikato, sinahalukata, reteto, sitro medeha, pranti sutalahaka, likroto nibahasi, pantile mikota, litra masuta, falande kreteto, suntelehika, repetona sitalahakute, in the name of Jesus. We are praying this prayer also. We are stopping every planned attack of the enemy on members of this ministry. Every accident that the devil has planned, members of this ministry of Christ and all our other ministries, we are canceling that, nullifying that. Even as we approach camp meeting, people will be traveling from all parts of the country to attend the camp meeting. We are declaring safety and we are crushing every agenda of the wicked one to intercept them and to cause them to be involved in accident. Let's pray. Open your mouth in the name of Jesus. We forbid, we cancel, and we nullify every planned attack, every agenda of the wicked one against any of our members. In the name of Jesus, even from now till the time we come for camp meeting and even beyond, we cancel all such moves. We frustrate all plans. In the name of Jesus, we scatter all groupings, all beatings. In Jesus' name, we step into all transactions and render them nonsense. Make nonsense of them. In the name of Jesus, it will not stand. It will not prevail. In the name of Jesus, we superimpose God's perfect will. And we declare that there will be no accidents. We declare there will be no accidents. We declare there will be no accidents. In the name of Jesus, people of God will have our meeting successfully. And we are going to see the face of God. We're going to be blessed by God. We're going to receive nourishment. And we will go back with joy. God will fill our hearts with joy and our mouth with laughter. And he will set a table before us in the presence of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. So have we declared, so shall it be written, so shall it be carried out by the angels. In Jesus' name. We are praying this last prayer for Ghana. We are praying for our president and his people. God should give them wisdom. Any good plans they have for this nation, God should breathe upon it. Let Ghana flourish. Just as God was telling us even before the election that it's time for Ghana. We are praying that any evil plans that will come into their heads, let those evil plans perish. Let them never see the light of day, those plans. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the government. Pray for the president, the ministers. Pray for wisdom and strength in carrying out good plans, good policies that will bring prosperity in this nation, that will release your blessing over this nation. In the name of Jesus. Any evil people that will seek to give evil counsel, that will incur the wrath of God upon this nation, or that will dispel the blessing of God from this nation. We arrest them and make them incapacitated in the name of Jesus. We tie their hand behind their back and we close their mouths in Jesus' name. And we arrest their words and negate them in the name of Jesus. Any evil plan that will come into their heads, let those plans perish. Let them never surface in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. Thank you for how far you have brought us. We pray that you continue to grant us more grace. Have mercy on us so that we will not go astray. Even as we are learning these things, Father, we pray for grace and mercy over our heads, that we will not go astray, but will always follow you and follow you wholeheartedly, like Joshua and Caleb did. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.